Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Started off with a sneeze, Marty. Come on. Under the gun?
I'm good.
Can I do it? Okay. Never mind. All right, everybody. Welcome back to episode 84 of the No Bad Days podcast. Joined here as always by my two co-hosts. One's in a new... Actually, no one's currently at home. So we'll go to Johnny first. Johnny, tell us where you are and tell us your first impressions of where you are since today was your first time being there.
Well, first of all, what's up, boys? Miss you guys. Can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. I know you guys are flying in the morning, and I am in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the THG, the Hockey Guys headquarters. I'm currently at the office right now in the recording studio. Just finished wrapping up with the other Hockey Guy podcast, doing a little Florida recap, and then now I'm on our podcast, the funnier one. And we're just hanging out. The boys are doing some editing and stuff like that. It's always good seeing them. And recording from THG HQ.
Oh yeah,
nice. And Jordan, you're still in Providence?
I am back in Providence. Yeah, we were in New Hampshire the last 3 or 4 days, so we just got back last night. So
I saw that you took a visit to Fenway Park. Was that
we went
was
to
that
Fenway,
your first time there?
First time there. We went to Fenway Park. We saw the Sox.
Yeah.
We actually did a lot. We went hiking. We went to Newport, Rhode Island. What else? Tons of shit. We went and visited a mansion. We did a lot of shit.
He says we did a lot, and then he names two things.
I forget.
I know. I'm bad for that, too.
I knew
I'm
I
so bad for that.
But Fenway was sick.
Was that your first bowl game?
Doesn't it look like it's like when you're walking around the outside, it looks like it's huge. And then once you go inside, it seems super small.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like when I first went in there, too.
Yeah. But, is that your first MLB game, Marty?
First MLB game, yeah. We just bought like standing room tickets in like the Sam Adams deck.
Oh yeah.
But obviously, there wasn't too many people there on a Monday, so we got like those nice, like I don't know what you saw from my snaps, obviously.
Oh yeah.
That like nice table right on the deck there, right in the outfield. It was like really good.
That's sick. Decent. Honestly, like going to a baseball game, there's really no bad seats to watch a ball game.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, I feel like because like depending on what you're, I mean, no one really like. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Like, there's no bad seats because you can't see the ball if it's a strike or ball anyway.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
The coolest seat would probably be right behind home plate.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to, like, watch the pitcher do his work and or whatever. Like,
but then it's hard to see, like, the outfielders, I guess, do their thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah, like...
There's no real bad spots.
Last Jays game I was at, I sat three rows up. Like right behind the dugout, and that's a cool seat because you could see like the distances that they actually have to throw, like close up, like it's friggin' far, right? And then I've also sat up in like the 500s right above home plate, and that's kind of cool because you could see like the changes like of the ball when they like the curve and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool to see too.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's different. I think baseball games are good for the atmosphere. I don't really care about the game that much, but more the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's a social thing.
Social. Did you guys see, I wanted to bring this up because I thought it was hilarious. First of all, there's a Canadian that won the Canadian Open in the golf this weekend for the first time in 65 years.
Insane, that putt. Insane.
Yeah. So I guess he was in a four-hole playoff, and he made a 72 or 74-foot putt for eagle to win on the fourth playoff hole. So obviously he's Canadian. He's from like BC somewhere, and he won the Canadian Open, which is a big deal. But then there was probably like five or six Canadians in the field that were staying around after the round to congratulate him if he won and cheering him on. So when he made that putt, one of the Canadian golfers, Adam Hadwin, ran onto the green with a bottle of champagne and tried to spray him.
Yeah.
And one of the security guards just linebacker NFL style pancaked him onto the green.
Oh yeah.
So that was viral, but
I saw a tweet after that. The champagne bottle that he was holding is going in the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame. The president of the Hall of Fame tweeted that. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, because it was like obviously like an insane putt, insane win, and then just like a crazy moment to follow that up.
Yeah.
So that champagne bottle is going in the Hall of Fame, which is kind of hilarious.
That's got to be one of the craziest finishes to a golf tournament that has ever happened. Like a 70 plus foot putt made for eagle to win.
Yeah.
Like, in a playoff.
Tav, you're a big golf guy. Like, have you ever seen that?
No. Like,
that fashion.
The percentage of him making that putt would have been like less than 5%.
You could hit that
putt 100 times and not make it more than twice. And then to have that happen. And I think the guy that his name's Nick Taylor, he was like over par. He was like in 120th place after the first day. And then he battled his way back and won in the playoff. But I mean, pretty cool for a Canadian. Finally, some good Canadian sports news. There hasn't really been any Canadian sports news like that for a while, so it's good to see.
Yeah. And then I can't remember his name, but a Canadian just won the NBA championship.
Oh, Jamal Murray?
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's his name. he's from Toronto, I think. Johnny, you know him?
I think he's from Kitchener.
Oh, okay. So Toronto, basically.
The metro area? Is that what you guys call it?
Pretty far from Toronto. Town?
Well, so is Hamilton.
Yeah. But you got to say Toronto to Americans because they're not going to know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Cool. Like yeah, you almost have to say Toronto.
Yeah. Half the time I honestly should and people would maybe understand.
And you're from the nation's capital. I remember explaining to someone where you were from and I said Ottawa, Ontario. And they're like, I don't know. And this probably sounded so condescending, but I was like, okay, you know how Washington, D.C. is your capital? They're like, yeah. I was like, well, Ottawa's our capital.
Yeah, I've done that so many times before too, and people just look at me like, okay.
Such an asshole thing to say, but it's like, I didn't know how else to say that.
Well, it's like, what do you want? Like,
that's like, if you just don't, it's not my fault you don't know.
Yeah, which like you think someone would like Ottawa, like it is the country's capital. Like it's not. I don't know. Maybe that's just us. What do we know?
Yeah, exactly. What do we know?
Apparently nothing. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I did in elementary school. Did we have to learn American geography, or was it just Canadian?
I don't remember learning any of it.
I did. We learned world geography in elementary school.
World geography.
Yeah, you learn like other countries' capitals and stuff like that.
Oh, that part, yeah, but I don't think you don't learn like U.S. geography, right? Like you don't learn the states and stuff, all of them.
No, like you don't learn where like Louisville, Kentucky is, but like it's not hard to figure that one out, right?
Yeah, you just get a map and point to it.
Yeah.
Louisville.
What's like, you know what surprises me though is the amount of Americans that live close to the border in Canada that still don't know what like is right above them, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Again, another moment. I think this is when we were at school. Someone was saying, they're like, oh, I've been to Canada. And I'm like, oh, like where? And they're like, I'm like, you know what province? Like, where were you? They're like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm like, Oh, that's funny, because like when I drive through the states and I enter a new state, there's a big friggin' sign that says what state I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm sure there had to have been one on the road. Like, you must have just blinked or something. I don't know, but
must have just missed it.
Yeah, but that isn't that weird, going somewhere and not knowing where you are, and then like leaving that destination.
Well, I just think at very least, like
a bare minimum, I knew that. Growing up in Ontario, that if I drove into the States, I was going into New York State, because that's that borders where I'm from.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Like if you go on vacation to like Florida, like, you know that you're going to the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And maybe like the city that you're staying in.
Part of me gets it, because a lot of Americans don't go to Canada on vacation, and I don't blame them, because there's not the vacation spots that there is in the U.S. obviously.
Regina, Saskatchewan.
Maybe? Yeah. Oh yeah, we stayed at the Travel Lodge in Fort Francis, Ontario.
Shout out to Rosser. Rosser's gonna like that.
Shout out to who?
Is he Rosser. Is he a listener?
Oh yeah.
Maybe.
Probably not.
No, hey, we'll send him the clip.
We'll send him the clip.
Yeah. Get him the clip.
But. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. But anyways,
I forgot another really cool, interesting thing that actually, I was a part of.
Go for it.
There was this thing called Bike Week here, or in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like people from like all over the country drive up for this thing. And there was like
is it motorcycles or bicycles? Yeah,
like Harleys.
Okay.
And there was like well over like 2,000 bikes there. Tons of bikes from like Quebec, Ontario, like it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wild seeing that many bikes, obviously.
Did you catch a ride on someone's back?
I did want to go on Nat's brother's bike, but I didn't do it.
Yeah. It's scary.
I've never been on a motorcycle, yeah.
Just a dirt bike.
My uncle has one. He's got a Harley, and I went on the back, and like, you're freaking... I didn't really want to put my arms around him, so I like put him on the side. It's scary. Like, we didn't go on the highway or anything. Like I said, I didn't want to do that. But even just going down where like the speed limit's like 80 kilometers an hour or 60, whatever, like it's freaking scary. And then like you're going around a bend, and it's just like if you fall, you're done. And you have to like, if you're a passenger, you have to like lean a little bit with the driver, like not too much, but like.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh my god, like scary stuff.
And people in the states on motorcycles are nuts too, because they go no bucket.
Oh yeah
and don't have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle.
Rip those things too, man. It was wild.
No rules. And the other thing too,
no tarps, no hat, helmets.
You kind of look like a little bitch on the back too, like. Like, I remember we were at a stoplight, and I was like, if I see someone I know next to me, like, you just like, I don't know. It's my uncle.
Yeah. Just go for a rip.
Not, yeah. Going to the convenience store, you?
Need anything?
Yeah. Yeah, no, not a cool look being on the back of those things.
That's true.
Would you rather be on the back of one or in the sidecar of one? Which is the bigger, like, loser move?
Oh, God. I'd rather be on the back.
I'd
rather be on the back, too.
Like, unless I got, unless I got a turret machine gun, I don't want to be in the sidecar.
Yeah.
It's honestly, going to war.
Speaking of, like, embarrassing things, it's like, I don't know if you guys have ever had this, but. Especially when I was like younger, I would take my mom's minivan for like rides if I needed to go somewhere. And if you saw someone you know driving your mom's like caravan or whatever, like your parents' car, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I will say with minivans, whoever, like there was always a guy in junior that had a minivan wherever we were.
Oh, yeah.
And those were the best for piloting the boys.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We have
remember Macker
that too.
Yeah.
Macker had a grand caravan in college.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. True.
The Van Bergini.
Yeah.
I remember
and the back window got shattered.
Yeah. I remember it, cause that was before we went to Arizona, and I was going to get a haircut, and I was taking his car.
It was like
8 a.m. and I get in the car, I shut the door, and I hear like some glass trickle. I'm like, the fuck was that? Turn around, whole back windshield smashed in, and I go back, and it's like all over the back of his car. I'm like, oh my god. I go in, I'm like, Macker. He's like, yeah, bud. I'm like, there's something wrong with your car.
You got no like, back gotta... window, buddy.
He's like, what do you mean? Yeah, I was like, your back window smashed in. You might want to come look at it. He just sprints downstairs. Nothing was taken, though. It was the weirdest thing. Like, all his, like, electronics, like his phone charger, all that stuff. Even, like, the little change. Like, it was all still in there. So someone just, like...
Remember is this that... another one of those scenarios where you call the owner of the car and say, hey, was your window or your center console always broken? And then that you actually did it by accident? Or is this, like, a legit, you didn't do it?
That was, like, a legit, like, didn't take a crowbar and smash in his back window.
Okay, just making sure. Wasn't sure if he pissed you off or something.
That was crazy, though. And, someone just wanted to give him the biggest inconvenience of all time.
That is a very, very major inconvenience, I would say.
Like, now you just got to deal with that. And it was close to us leaving, obviously. So it's like...
Yeah, I remember the guy that he hired to come fix it. They fixed it in the backyard of our college house. Remember that guy with the van that just came with a pane of glass and put it in the back? Yeah.
That was funny.
He was so... it's funny now, but he was so, like, just, like, defeated that that happened. Like,
I remember
it happened, Johnny. So I think you took my car wherever you were going, right? Probably.
No, I took DJ's.
Okay. But you came in and told us what happened to Macker's car. And we all went out to look, and then we went to see, like, talk to him about it. And he's just, we walk into your house, and he's just sitting on the couch with his, like, head propped back on the couch, looking at the ceiling, just staring there. And we're like, hey, Macker, what's up? He's like, oh, not much. Just... car is broken.
Yeah, like just sad. Like sad. Yeah.
Well, I'd be sad guy. Too.
And hey, speaking of our student house, that's where we're staying this weekend.
Good transition, Johnny, buddy.
Very good. Props on that one. Good job.
Yeah. You're learning now that you're in the HQ, you're just full go mode now.
Yeah, I just
look
brought
at
my
you got energy in. Today. You're contributing to conversations. Maybe you should just stay in Minnesota.
Well, maybe it was the 38 coffees I had today.
Oh, is that your number?
What else do you do at the airport, right?
Fair enough.
Do you have any good airplane stories for us?
The first one that pops into mind is. When I going to Fort Lauderdale last week, we landed and I was like on the wing. So obviously I'm still in my seat. People are getting up. You guys know the drill. You leave. You don't even bother standing up. There's obviously going to be a few people here and there that are quick to their feet.
Yeah, but, they want that gold medal.
This lady comes from like, all the way back at the plane and is standing like maybe two rows in front of me with her stuff, like just eager to go, like pushed her way through. There's a flight attendant like a couple feet away. And she looks at him and goes, how many exits are on this plane? And the guy's like 8 because of all the emergency exits. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she goes, so why are we only getting off of that one? like where that tunnel attaches to the plane.
Yeah.
And we're all looking at each other. We're like, first time?
Yeah. Like, holy, seriously.
Are you kidding me?
Lady, this is obviously your first time flying because you just broke the cardinal sin of going up the aisle when everyone's waiting. And now you're asking dumbass question like this. Are you kidding?
Oh, man. I'm surprised you're not sneezing on people on your way up. Like, it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. Like, that's and she's wild. Like, it's. She's like, this lady was probably like in her 50s. Like, what I'm trying to say is mature enough to never, ever ask that question.
Like, most likely been on an airplane before?
Yeah. Like oh my God. Most likely not a first timer. So that blew my mind. And then it was actually sick too because there was like some seating mishaps, I guess, when I got there. So it was rows of three seats on each side. And I had no one in my aisle. So it was sick. I was just sprawled out. So it was a very comfortable flight. And then same actually on the way here, the flight from Toronto to Minneapolis was pretty empty. So I had the whole row to myself. And yeah, it was nice. And then trying to think if there was another one. I did see a couple bare feet. Didn't like that.
Never.
Quite honestly disgusted in that. And then, this didn't happen in front of me, but I saw it happen. Maybe 10 minutes after taking off, someone went full recline. You don't do that. You don't do that on a flight that's less than 2 hours.
Really? Like,
that is just bad etiquette. It was my flight from New York to Toronto. Don't do that. Oh, actually,
that's like a 35 minute flight. So I understand that. That's not a long flight at all.
Like, and if you're going to nap, like, I'm sure you could just do it like in the regular position of the seat. Like, you don't need to like hammer someone's kneecap. It's, especially like that quick, like just immediately after takeoff. Like, you don't, you know what I mean? And then, well, so I had a 3 hour layover in New York, and I'm sitting in like by the gate, and I wasn't in the seat area. There was like this big leather bench. It was like a big circle, and you just sit all the way around it. But there's like plugs under it every so often. Mm-hmm. And I guess I had one by my feet. Not a very packed area. Okay. And I have my headphones in, I'm listening to music, and I'm just like scrolling like mindlessly on my phone. And I feel like something on my leg, and I look down, and there's a lady crawling around my feet. Like, you know what it was like? You know when there's like a, like you go to someone's house and they have a small dog, and it's kind of just like going around your feet, and you're just hoping you don't step on it?
Yeah.
That's what I was going through in LaGuardia. Like, this lady was like literally on her hands and knees crawling around my feet looking for a plug. So I take my headphone out. I'm like, are you looking for something? Like, I thought she dropped something, like maybe like an earring or like whatever that could have possibly rolled by my foot. Cause I was good. Like, just going to help her look for it.
Yeah.
She just goes, no, looking for a plug. And I'm like looking around, and I see like 1,000 empty seats at the gates. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
No worries.
Yeah.
Don't mind me.
Yeah.
The 10 over there that are not by my feet, they must be broken. I don't know.
Forget about them.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Oh, man. Like, that was crazy. Like, literally on her hands and knees, head hit my shin. Like, weird.
That's insane.
And I look up, and it was funny because this guy that was sitting across from me looks at me. He's like.
We should go to one of these airlines, and I think as like a hockey guy's brand deal, we should do like a commercial shoot that they play on the TVs before the flights, like the safety demonstrations.
Yeah.
But it should be like Johnny and like, and us, all three of us like doing different actions. Like, hey, when your flight's less than 2 hours long, you don't need to recline your seat.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
And guess what? Yeah. Your shoes, they can stay on.
Yeah. And if you are traveling with flip-flops, wear socks.
Yeah. Or just keep the flip-flops on. Like, that's the part where I think there's a gray area. I guess it's fine to travel in flip-flops. I get it. But, like, if you're going to travel in flip-flops, just make sure they stay on your feet and don't put your feet all over the nice, comfortable cushions on the chairs of an airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, like, come on. Yeah, we need to make we're gonna partner with an airport. It could be in Toronto, New York, Chicago, whatever. Make it like a busy one, and we're gonna make a video really of busy. Do's and don'ts of airport etiquette / flight etiquette, and our faces are gonna be all over the airport billboards and played on every plane that has TVs.
Yeah, And if you get caught breaking the rules, then the Department of Homeland Security is going to come out of nowhere and just take you, and you're never going to be heard from again.
Yeah. No, that flight marshal, there's going to be a flight marshal on every plane. Mm-hmm. And if they see you, I don't know.
If they see you picking your toenails and throwing your extra toenails on the ground, they're going to open the emergency hatch mid-plane ride and then just unbuckle your seatbelt.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to be... you're just going to be kind of eliminated from the plane.
Yeah. And then I guess when you're in the air, you find out if you have a parachute on that seat or not.
You got an eject seat button. The air marshal has all these eject seat buttons for every plane. And he just looks around. He's like, okay, 12F.
Drops right down.
I've got
it's like that scene in Austin Powers where they go right down to like that boiler room.
Yeah. I got an insane story for traveling this week too, actually. So I'm out in BC, obviously, and I've been driving my brother's car that he had here when he lived here. And it's a 2003 Mazda Protege, so it's a tiny, tiny little car. And anyways, so I was going to see my billet parents on Thursday in Nanaimo, which is 45 minutes away, but I had to take the highway to get there. Okay, so I hop on the highway, start driving. Everything's fine. It's a little squeal coming out of the engine, but that's nothing new. So I just keep going. And then I'm cooking on the highway, probably 120, 110, 120. And I see the heat gauge on the dash is all the way at hot. And I'm like, oh that's kind of weird. But that's kind of weird, but I don't see any smoke coming out. So I think it's fine. So anyways, I keep going like another couple kilometers. And then the battery engine light comes on. I'm like, all right, well, never seen this before, but I guess I'll just kind of keep plunging away, and nothing seems wrong with the car yet.
Anyway,
I'm going up this hill, and then there's like a downslope after the hill. So I'm going up the hill. I can hear the engine kind of like making like revving noises. And this lady pulls beside me and she starts pointing at my engine and she's like, smoking. She's doing like the cigarette smoking thing.
Really?
Oh shit. So
you're like, no, I'm good.
No, I've got my own. Thanks.
Only if you got them. If you got them.
So I'm like, I'm like, shit. So I get to the top of this hill and there's like this big downhill anyway. So I'm like wondering what's going on. I'm looking for somewhere to pull off. There's only a tiny little shoulder on this highway, but I can see that there's like a turn off at the end. So I'm just kind of coasting down the hill. And now I start seeing the engine come out of my engine, or the smoke come out of my engine block, and all the lights on my dash start flashing, and then all the gauges start going like this.
Oh my God.
The car completely stalls out. So I'm just like coasting now, and I have no power steering on the highway. So I have to like really turn so I start to slow down. I finally get to this turnoff. I crank the wheel. I get it into this where there's this farmer's field, and there's like a little logging truck road right beside me. So I'm sitting on the side of this road. I open up the engine. The coolant has blown off. There's coolant leaking everywhere. The engine's overheating. There's smoke coming out everywhere. So I'm like, shit, what happened? So I'm like, I see this. I look at the engine.
What could this be?
Yeah, there was no warning signs.
So I see this little hose that's come off the radiator, which is what keeps the engine cool. So I'm like, oh, this must have just fallen off. The engine overheated. So I just put it back on. I'm like, okay, start the car up. It starts fine. So I'm like, all right. Well, it seems like I'm all ready to go. I go to put the car in gear, and then everything shuts down again. I'm like, oh shit. So I'm like, well, the battery must have just died. I must need to get a jump start. So I go over to this logging yard where there's this two receptionists and a lady who's the boss apparently. And she was the rudest lady I've ever come into contact with. Like, I'm broken down. So she drove by me while I was trying to fix whatever was going on. I saw her drive by me, didn't offer to help, didn't ask what's wrong, anything. She just drove by me, pulled into her thing. So I walk over there. I go to the two like receptionists. I'm like, hey, just my car is broken down. I think I just need a jump start. Is there any way one of you guys has jumper cables and is able to give me help for like a couple minutes? They're both like, oh, yeah, no problem. I don't personally have any, but this guy outside, he has them and he'll probably be able to help you out. No sooner I turn around, boss lady stand there. What do you want? I'm like,
oh, I'm just trying to get a jump start. My car's broken down. She goes, well, you know, I pay every single one of these people by the hour to work for me. And so they would be leaving that job to help you. So I don't really know. That's exactly what she said. And I was like,
holy shit.
I was like, oh, okay, no problem. Like, maybe you have jumper cables in your truck. I could maybe get you to help me. She's like, I don't have time for that. I got to go do deliveries. I'm like, all right, cool. So she leaves. And then this, the one guy that was working there, he's like, I'll help you out. I was like, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh my, you should have turned around and be like, oh, one last question. You ever heard of fucking off?
Yeah. Like, I was just like, holy shit. Anyways.
That's crazy.
The guy helps me out, jump starts the car, doesn't work. Anyways, the car's stranded. So Jenna's dad comes and picks me up. We take the battery out to go get it charged at the shop. It gets charged. We put it back in. We think we know what's wrong with it. I think I bought a new alternator for the car, which is what charges the battery while the car is running. So I bought one. I had it in the passenger seat. And, I put the battery in. Car starts up fine. I take off because I'm apparently you're supposed to be able to drive for like half an hour on a good on a fully charged battery without any problems. So I get back on the highway, turn around, and I start heading back towards Jenna's house. I'm on the highway again. Stall right as I'm getting to where I need to turn off. So I'm in the turning lane with the highway coming this way. I have to go across the highway, completely stalled out on the like on the highway. So my car's just sitting there. I'm in the driver's seat, just like. So I'm at a light, thank God. So the light turns green. I get the advanced green. I hop out of my car. Jenna's dad's out of his truck behind me, and we push the car across the highway into the parking lot. And then we just leave it there. So then we spent the next couple hours putting a new belt on the engine that apparently we didn't know it needed a belt for that place, or we didn't notice it was missing. And then the car runs good as new.
Holy shit.
That is, talk about an inconvenience.
Talk about a day.
That took, I left. This happened at 9:30 in the morning, and I didn't get the car back home until 6.
That's crazy.
So you didn't even get to see your billets?
No. I saw them on Sunday, though. I went down there on Sunday.
Oh, okay. At least you got to see them.
Took a different car.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not risking that one again.
But, like, the moral of the story is, like, the thing that pissed me off the most about that whole day was how that lady just completely disregarded it. Like, oh. I was just like, are you... Is your day that bad?
100%. Oh, actually, speaking of rude people, that reminds me, my flight from Lauderdale to New York, I'm sitting beside this, they're not an elderly, I would say middle-aged couple, like 50s, 60s, whatever. And I'm in the middle, his wife's on the aisle beside me, and he's on the aisle in the next row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the two seats next to him are empty, and this other couple comes on and they're sitting beside him, and the wife gets in there first, and the husband is like putting the luggage above. Yeah. And so this guy sits right back down, and then the husband looks at him and goes, oh, like I'm beside you. He literally looks him dead in the eye and goes, why didn't you say anything before I sat back down? It's just like, whoa,
where do you think he was going?
Like, where are you get off saying that? Yeah. Like, that is just like, and then like, he's looking at his wife and going like this, like rolling his eyes.
Yeah, here we go.
And then he was kind of like rude to his wife a little bit. Cause when we landed, the flight guys, like, or the pilot's like announcing that we're going to land. And she's like, sweetie, like put your iPad away. He was on his iPad the whole flight, like watching something, and he looks at her, he's like, I'm not done yet. And it's like, this guy was probably the worst 6-year-old of all time when he was a kid, like just brutal.
Not done yet. So crazy.
It's like one of those things that make you feel uncomfortable, like even being around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some people out there that just don't get it.
Speaking of Fort Lauderdale, Johnny, you never really filled us in on how that all was and how it went down. Seemed like you guys had a good time.
Yeah, no, it was great. Obviously, like, sick location. The only knock I'll ever have on Fort Lauderdale is the drive from the beat, like where we are and where everyone stays, to the rink. It's a little bit of a hike. It's about a 25-30 minute car ride, and like you can, depending on the time, you could battle traffic. That's the only knock I have other than that.
Hey?
Yeah, like we've all been there, like sick rink, everything like that. It's just not near anything.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That was the problem that they've always had though.
Yeah, and it's a hike from all the fun places basically. Yeah. So that's the only issue.
Sorry.
Oh no, but I was gonna say other than that, it was sick. Like where we were, we stayed at a great hotel on the beach there, and the elbow room. We were there pretty much every night, and it was just always bumping with people that were there for the same reasons as us. Like all the TV personalities, all the media, everyone was there, and made some great connections and met some really cool people. So it was a really fun trip.
I was meeting that Kat Stickler person. Oh,
she's the coolest. She's the absolute coolest person.
Make some who pretty funny girl? Videos.
She's an influencer on TikTok and Instagram. And,
no, I know. Really? Wait. No, but like where? Like I saw that she has a ton of followers. Like I just don't. Like, is she from something, or is she just like a pure influencer?
Straight TikTok, I think.
Like, yeah, straight TikTok, and like her thing is like comedy. So like she like comes up with skits and stuff like that that she does,
right?
Whether it's about like relationships, or like breakups, like stuff like that, right? But she's actually really funny, and meeting her in person, like she took the time to like film with us, do some content with us, and we did stuff for her page too. And she was really great. We hung out with her a little bit, and there was a bunch of other people who were doing the same stuff in that suite, so that was pretty cool. But I think my highlight was we were filming an interview with Mikey Grinnelli from Spit and Chicklets, and this guy walks out in this like full Adidas tracksuit, right? And we're kind of looking at him, and I recognized him. I didn't remember his first name, but I recognized him right away. And Frizz kind of nudged me, and he's like, who is this guy? And I'm like, that's Wayne Gretzky's son. Looks exactly like his dad did, like tall, skinny kind of thing.
Trevor?
Like I think it was, yeah. And it was funny because he was talking to Grinnelli about how Biz keeps bugging him to golf with his brother-in-law and wow. Stuff like that.
He wants to go with Dustin?
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know if I could take him out there, but whatever. And then he kind of looked over his shoulder and he goes, oh shit, my dad's coming. And sure enough, Wayne friggin' Gretzky walking down the hallway with security. He was probably going back to the panel or something like that.
Yeah.
But he was nice enough to like, hey boys, and then keep walking. But like, I was just like in awe. Like it was crazy. And I was telling the guys earlier, I was just saying like, I have a funny story. Cause as you guys know, I played junior in Brantford, Ontario, where Wayne is from. And, I got,
you probably could have talked his ear off for a little while. Eh?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And I just wanted to tell him a cool story about his dad. Like, cause I'm sure he would like love hearing that. He passed away a couple years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if I've told this story on the pod. It was when I was playing there, and Walter, for the people that don't know, Wayne Gretzky's dad, he is a huge part of the Brantford community. Obviously, he's very famous in the hockey world as well. And what he did, he had his own parking spot at the arena, and he would go around and just talk to people. And even if he would meet random people on the street, he would invite them back to his house and show them all of Wayne's stuff, like growing up, like random people, open up his home to them. Great guy. And he would go around the rink and collect pucks that would go over the glass and just put them in his pocket and take them back to his garage. He had thousands of pucks there and golf balls too. He had a lot of golf balls. And, so the story I have when I met him is I'm walking out of the tunnel to go to the to practice, and I'm in full gear, and he's just standing in the hallway, and I look at him and I introduce myself, and I'm like, can I give you a hug? So I was 18 years old, and I give Walter Gretzky a hug, and I'm like, such a pleasure meeting you. I'm like, you should be in the Hall of Fame behind glass. And he kind of laughed, and he's like, oh, it was nice meeting you, and then kind of walked away. Blah blah blah, but I was just like, that was one of the coolest things like in my hockey career was meeting Walter Gretzky.
That is cool. Do you think it's weird? Do you think he thought it was weird that you asked him for a hug? Or is that like a common thing that people do?
I don't know, man. He's just the sweetest guy. So like, I just had to.
There's stories about him being like the most like giving, like he gave back so much to that area. Like he would, the stories of him going to like the tournaments that they would help run and he would be there from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. just talking to people and making sure people had what they need. Yeah.
All day. There's a great story about him. Back in 1987, the World Cup of hockey was in Hamilton, Ontario. So Team Canada was like Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Dale Hawerchuk, all those guys, right? And they were the Russian team was obviously in town, and he invited all the Russian players to back to his house in Brantford for dinner.
Really?
Damn. How funny is that? Yeah. And then there's like Wayne was telling stories like where Walter would come up to him with like a few pucks and just be like, "Hey Wayne, like you're signing these. I got to give them to some kids." You know what I mean?
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like he's making his kid. Obviously, Wayne's a great guy too. That he would do that, no problem. But it's just funny. He's like, he's not asking him. He's telling him. He's like, "You're signing these pucks. I'm giving them to some kids."
No, yeah. You're still doing it. You're still listening to me. I'm your dad.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of Wayne Gretzky too, I saw a post on Instagram. His jersey, the last NHL jersey that he wore in his last game.
Oh yeah,
in New York, just sold for $750,000.
Yeah,
at auction. That's a little
bit crazy, eh?
And the starting bid was $50,000, and it worked its way up. Isn't that nuts?
That's almost like Mike Davis's jersey.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Yeah. Mike Davis's last warm-up jersey
went for $10,000 the Birmingham Bulls auction. I saw that you also got re-familiarized with shirts off on some TikToks there, Johnny. How's that?
Yeah, that was I want it. Okay, the one on the beach.
Well, the one on the beach is like
there was two.
No. The one on the beach is like it's the beach, so you're probably allowed to have your shirt off. You know.
Yeah. So the one there was two. There was the one where I was like we're working out at the hotel,
and yeah, that was the one I'm talking about.
I didn't know that we were filming, and I had my shirt. It was just us in the gym. I just had my shirt off. We're outside. It was hot. Whatever. We just got back from a run. Working out with my shirt off. I didn't know we were filming. Blah, blah, blah. That's how that happened. The one on the beach, everyone had their shirt on.
If you recall, had their shirts on.
Yeah, in that video. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So I went to put my shirt back on, and Frizz said no.
Yeah, that also makes a lot of sense.
And so that's how that
How far happened. Did you run with the boys that day?
I think we did 3 miles.
How long did it take you guys?
Oh, I can't remember.
Just so I can get an idea of like roughly what times they're running these things, because I have no idea. I'm scared to ask
I think we were doing somewhere between 8 and 9 minute miles.
Okay,
but
pretty quick then.
I was, you know, not to toot my own horn here, but I was leading the pack. I was at the front.
That's good. So you're good to do the marathon then?
No. Because I wanted to die after, so I just gave it all. Full gear for 3 miles.
There you go. That's the type of guy you are, though.
Still got it.
Yeah.
You got
if I'm
it.
Doing something, it's 100%.
You're kind of like one of the guys on our freshman year team that would we would do 11 400-meter sprints, and he would sit out the first 9 of them and then win the last 2.
Yeah.
Who did that?
I'm not going to name drop any names here.
Yeah.
Do I know him?
No. No, it's from our freshman year.
You don't know him, but Johnny. Okay, so we would go to the track at 5:30 a.m. warm up. We would do these sprints. And so for the first 8 or 9 of them, he would go into the gym in Westman, bring out a stationary bike and bike like at a moderate pace while we were sprinting.
Oh, I know exactly who this is.
And then we would get to 1 or 2 left,
And then he'd be like, oh, I might as well try one and then smoke all of us.
And how am I like that guy? I didn't sit out.
Well, you're sitting out of the marathon is what I'm saying. I guess it's a little different, but that was just the analogy.
It's different I didn't go in when everyone was tired. We started running.
Well, yeah, because they all are running at their marathon training pace, not at whatever pace they want, like you.
The Johnny.
Yeah, but they could have passed me. Cuddy was in the back.
Cuddy's not running it either.
Yeah, I know, but he was dying. Couldn't keep up.
I'm just trying to take credit.
Hey, yeah, I'm just saying I was surprised in myself that we were doing good and I didn't fall off.
Your hockey legs weren't injured or anything after?
No. Good legs. Been working out.
That's good.
Attaboy.
Thanks. I also noticed that you learned how Instagram worked again over the weekend, finally.
Yeah, it's time
you've
to
been
be
dormant. Time, and you made a TikTok, man.
It's time to be an influencer again.
I don't know if you figured out how Instagram worked or if you got it confused with Snap Stories.
You did?
My job this weekend was posting stories.
On your own page?
On your own account?
Yeah.
Who gave you that job?
Lawson.
He said post on your own.
Yep.
Damn. That's an easy job.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good. I think I did well.
No, you did. It was just
funny.
Yeah, you
caught our attention. So it's
funny
good.
To see you. Funny to see you just like spark it back up.
You guys know how it is. Like, it's a little tougher to do that during the season.
No, I know. I didn't. But you didn't post a single thing all season. Like, not even a hockey picture or anything.
I never really post hockey pictures, though.
No, you do. You just don't post hockey pictures when you're wearing a cage. That was your rule in college.
Yeah.
But now you don't wear one anymore.
I posted one all 5 years of junior. Didn't post one in school. And then I have
you just
one.
Went ghost all day.
I went one this year, but it's like it's not like a first pick or anything.
Oh.
But yeah, no, back to being an influencer again, I guess.
Attaboy.
Well, you guys will be hopping on that train this week too. So
yeah, I'm
sure
we'll both be.
Don't worry about it.
No, we just had to give you a hard time for the tarps off stuff. That was.
Oh no, I know. Don't worry. I said, boys. I know how it looks.
No, it doesn't. I mean, the beach one was the one I understood. It was the gym one that I thought that you did that on purpose.
No, but I honestly didn't know what you were filming.
Now that you said. What happened? I was like, okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, you guys good? Or should we, I guess we should just say one more thing. Is the cup going to be handed out tonight or is it going to go another game?
I think it's going to be handed out tonight.
I'm going to hope I don't look stupid tomorrow and say that it's not handed out today.
I'm going to go with Marty. I hope that it keeps going a little bit, but Florida looks super beat up.
They do. Didn't they say Kachuk might be out for this game tonight too?
Yeah, he might be.
It's going to be game time, but it's not the that joke of a league, the NBA. So I think he'll be playing tonight. It's the Cup Finals. You can't set that up.
I think he'll be playing, but I think it's just like he barely
he's
could
not
play
be,
last
yeah.
game.
He's not going to be the same, but
maybe the 2 or 3 days though. Got
he'll,
him.
He'll play. I'm sure they're giving him Jordan's secret stuff from Space Jam, and he'll be out there buzzing around.
All right, so we'll see how that turns out next week. But, yeah, looking forward to seeing both of you guys this weekend and all the other guys, too. And
hell, yeah.
Having some fun back in our old stomping ground. So,
and you'll be spending a few days with me in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I'll be going to Winnipeg with Marty for a few days after, so that'll be fun. And,
very nice.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, we'll catch you up on what happens this weekend next week. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Cheers.
See you, folks.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.